Fantasy Podcast is proudly brought to you by beer52.com. And as a listener to the show, we would like to reward you with a free case of craft beer. All you need to do is pay the $2.95 delivery. Head on over to beer52.com/MFC and order your free case today. Beer 52 is a 5-star rating in Trustpilot, so it's easy to see that their members love their service. So head on over now to beer52.com/MFC and order your case.
Beer. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. After a positivity-filled episode last week, we come right back down to earth with a bump following the 7-1 defeat yesterday at Ibrox. I'm joined by Jay and Buster to look back in what was a fairly miserable afternoon, it must be said. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
How are you doing? Okay.
Yeah, not bad at all. We obviously all were lucky enough to miss the game yesterday due to other commitments, but Buster, a quite dreadful result. I'm struggling with Motherwell this season. It's so dull to go along to the matches. The performances are poor. The results are, on the whole, poor. It's just everything that was good about the team last season seems to have just completely disintegrated. It's so disappointing to see. And yesterday, yes, there were other circumstances. A harsh sending off for Carroll McHugh. Rangers awarded a penalty to go 2-1 ahead, but our collapse subsequently was quite disgraceful, to be perfectly honest, and very worrying signs after a week of positivity where we got 6 points and looked to be somewhat back in track.
I'm struggling a bit as well, but maybe the exact opposite for yourself. I don't really have any apathy whatsoever at the moment for some reason. It's, you know, as you say, very harsh second yellow card. I mean, I don't really know how it can be deemed as a deliberate handball or, you know, get a booking for it. I quite rightly think it was a penalty. You know, his hand's in an unnatural position, or, you know, whatever the however you would describe it. But to lose so badly is, yeah, it was just shite basically. And I don't want to think, you know, any of us were laughing at any point yesterday, but, you know, this is the, as it got to like 5, 6, 7, I think, you know, it was like, oh Jesus fuck, there's another goal, rather than any of us being really upset about it, to be honest with you. And as you say, on the back of two good results, I think it's going to be just a season where we have to be better than the two shittiest teams in the league. Hope that we're not one of them, and anything else is a bonus.
Hey, Stephen Robinson alluded to it in his post-match press conference that the players essentially threw in the towel. That's very, very worrying. That a place like Ibrox, where you've got 50,000 people watching you, high-pressure scenario, that our players essentially just folded like that. We're in the heat of a battle. We know that we're going to be fighting against relegation, given our poor start to the season. Why is it the case that the players are just collapsing like that? It's worrying, isn't it?
Yep, it is. You know, I thought we were reasonably in the game up until the penalty. It wasn't as though we just went there and froze from the start. You know, we obviously had the setback of an early goal for Rangers, but we came back into it. You know, a good bit of play by Bowman. Main gets on the score sheet. And although Rangers were the better team and they were getting a lot of joy down our left-hand side, because it just wasn't working on that side in terms of Biggie and Tate, of, you know, in terms of a defensive nature. But, you know, we were in the game. We looked half decent at least. We didn't look as though we'd kind of resorted to type in terms of just kind of, you know, turning up and being shit. You know, I thought we looked okay, at least as okay as perhaps we could have hoped for, given the season we've had so far. But then obviously, you know, the penalty is the turning point. And, you know, Buster's touched upon it. I think I agree. I think it was a penalty. Don't think it was a second booking. But you're right, just from that point on, it was just, you know, it was a case of chucking it. It was that simple. You know, you can, if we'd been down to 10 men and went 2-1 behind and you went on to lose the game by, you know, 1-2, possibly even 3 goals, but you were still seeing that desire, still seeing hard work, still seeing players putting their bodies in the line and still trying to come away with some sort of professional pride from the 90 minutes, then I think we could all accept that. You know, we're all Motherwell fans. We're used to getting beat. You know, we're used to getting horsed by teams like Rangers and Celtic, particularly Ibrox and Celtic Park. So, you know, it's nothing new, but we've spoke about it plenty of times before in the podcast. There's a way to lose a football match, and that absolutely was not it. You know, I said, you know, during the game, you know, there's Rangers were scoring goals that they will not score, you know, any easier goals this season. I don't think you'll find many teams in Scotland will score easier goals than Rangers got yesterday. It was so, so simple. They could have walked the ball into the net. There was nobody interested in challenging. There was nobody interested in marking. You know, you're getting free headers. You were getting players just walking through with the ball. It was embarrassing. It was completely embarrassing. And we can obviously talk all day about Carroll McHugh's red card and how difficult it is to then, you know, play against a Rangers side who are in the lead and you're down to 10 men and it's not even half time yet. But you can still go and, you know, have a bit of pride and you have a bit of passion and have a bit of desire. And we didn't have any of that. And what kind of magnifies it for me is the fact that, you know, Stephen Robinson, particularly last season, made a big, big deal about the types of characters that he brings to this football club. It's not just about ability. It's not just about experience and where they play on the park. It's about their mentality and it's about their characters. So he made a massive, massive deal about that, particularly last season. So when something like yesterday happens, I think it's magnified because you're watching that and you're thinking, right, where are the characters? Where are these, you know, these guys that apparently we go through their social media and we, you know, have a big in-depth analysis on not just how they play, but also who they are as people and how, you know, what their mentality is. If they could turn up and chuck in the towel after 34 minutes during a top-level game of football while they're still earning a wage, while they're still wearing their Motherwell shirt, and while they should still be playing for professional pride, then that is a big, big problem, and it suggests that we don't have the characters that we seem to have, you know, been told that we do.
There's three major kind of talking points, I think, from that point you just made there. The first of which, Carroll McHugh been sent off the second time this season. I'm not even sure the first one's a foul, to be honest. It kind of has a Morelos makes a real meal of it, put it that way. The second one, his hand is in an unnatural position. Stephen Robinson afterwards saying by the letter of the law it should be a sending off. I'm not so sure, but that obviously changes the game. Carroll McHugh is prone to these silly bookings that we were talking about at the St Mirren game quite recently, where he talked himself into a booking. He was warned that he was on his last chance. And about 2 seconds later, he just dives into another tackle and is subsequently booked. It was just sheer stupidity. And I think he really needs to eradicate this from his game. He's had a difficult last season. He's obviously relinquished the captaincy. I think he's been fairly decent at the start of this season, but this ascending off against Livingston when we were 1-0 ahead, obviously, I sent it off yesterday when we were 1-1 at Ibrox. We went on to draw the Livingston game, to get tonked 7-1 against Rangers. We can't trust Carroll McHugh because he's let us down in quite a few occasions here.
Sorry, I was just going to say, there was also, before he actually got sent off, there was, did he not actually commit a foul like two seconds after he got booked? He should have been sent off for that probably again. Well, you know, like, it was more of a foul than any of them, I think, to be fair.
Aye, he did. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. I think for McHugh now, it's becoming a recurring, you know, a recurring theme with him. I agree with Sparra. I don't think his first booking was necessarily a foul, never mind a booking. So, you know, I think he's been harshly treated in both bookings because I don't think the second one's a booking either. I get that, you know, it's handball in the box and if you're going to give the penalty, then possibly somewhere in the rule book, a yellow card should follow. But you're essentially, it's not deliberate handball. Everybody knows it's not deliberate handball. He's trying to block it. And his hand is in an unnatural position. But a yellow card's supposed to be a punishment. You can't punish somebody for the ball hitting off them. The fact that his hand happens to be in an unnatural position, the punishment is the penalty. It shouldn't have been a booking. But that said, that doesn't absolve, like, you know, Carroll McHugh of criticism for yesterday, because he's done it a few times this season. He gets booked. The first thing he does is wipe somebody out, and he did it yesterday. Literally about 30 seconds after his booking, he committed a foul, and then one of the Rangers players had a go at him, and he had to be held back because he was going to go and get in the face of a Rangers player. It's almost as though once he's been booked, you might as well just sub him, because he's a liability. I really like Carroll McHugh as a player, and I think he's got that kind of passionate, sometimes nasty streak that you do need in your team at times. And I think when he's on form, protecting the back four, putting his body in the line, winning tackles, putting his head, in where other players would shit themselves to do so, I think he's a valuable, valuable player. But for as long as he's got this kind of, red mist, kind of hothead streak, we don't have the luxury of having a player like that in our team. We can't afford to be going into games thinking that there's a chance Carroll McHugh might get sent off. That is not the way we should be approaching games. So if Carroll McHugh isn't prepared to, rein it in a bit, then he needs to be sitting on the bench, because we are in a relegation battle, and we can't afford to have somebody who is that big a liability in our team. And it's unfortunate because he's a good player, but it's becoming so obvious. You mentioned the second booking against Livy, when he actually should have been sent off a few minutes before for trying to decapitate Declan Gallagher. You had the two-footed challenge in the box against Kilmarnock that should have been a penalty and probably a red card. It's mounting up the number of kind of offences for Carroll McHugh. There's been a hard player. There's been there's been hard in the tackle and having that wee nasty streak. And then there's just been a hothead and a liability, and it's getting to the point where he's very much the latter.
Yeah, definitely. And I had actually forgotten about the commandment one. But so you're talking, easily could have been sent off three times, and we're only 12-13 games into the season. So it's pretty poor stuff. And I think that Stephen Robinson has had a lack of trust in him, because whether it was McHugh that relinquished the captaincy or it was a decision made by the management team, I tend to go with the belief that I think that he would have been asked to step down as captain before he was told that was exactly what was happening. But that kind of takes me on to the next one with the post-match stuff, and it's Richard Tate that's thrown in front of a camera. For me, that's the job of the captain. I think Peter Hartley should have fronted up. He should have been the guy that was delivering the interview. That's the duty of the captain, to be somewhat of a spokesperson for the team. When things are good, Peter Hartley is quite a loud voice. He is quite prominent. Here, I would have liked to see him again. I don't know what the reason for putting Richard Tate up instead was. But it's not. I want to see more from a captain. I think Peter Hartley's having a difficult season. I don't know whether our captaincy is becoming somewhat of a curse as well, but Peter Hartley would have been put in front of the cameras if it had been a 2-1 win. When the times are bad, he needs to front up, and I want to be hearing from him and not Richard Tate.
I mean, I've not actually seen the post-match stuff, but I've not bothered checking it yet. I mean, what I would say is, in terms of fronting up, we don't know who's made that decision. I don't know whether the previous kind of comments regarding Rangers have come into play. I just don't know. I don't know why your captain wouldn't be there. But I agree, if you lose a game 7-1, your captain should be the one speaking to the media. I just don't know whether I would be surprised if Peter Hartley, shut out of it. I would be surprised if Peter Hartley wasn't prepared to go and front it up. But I think it's possibly a decision that's been made by someone else at the club, but we obviously don't know the reason behind that.
I've not bothered to watch any of the pre-match stuff either yet, but I've seen, I looked at it. I went to look at basically McHugh's handball again. That was the only thing I really watched. But I've seen, Richard Tate. I can't remember what the headline was in the video, but it basically read to me, Richard Tate comes out and apologises to the fans for the team. And I thought, is that really Richard Tate's job? I mean, I didn't bother watching the Robo one either. I've just got the apathy whatsoever the new. But like you said, I thought, surely that's the captain's job rather than just sending Richard Tate out there.
they also would normally put two or three up and do a kind of mix zone type thing, but obviously you would, after a 7-1 defeat, you want to get down the road as quickly as possible and try and forget about it. And I do understand there's a need to be consistent with your output. I don't know whether the story of the match has appeared yet. Surely this is the week that it stops, because I don't want to see any more about this. It's...
In fairness, this week's story of the match might be one of their biggest hits this season with the Rangers fans that will be watching it.
Yeah, there was also the kind of the short video that said, "Let's go and set the tone." Some of these things, as good as the content is, it can actually backfire in your face quite badly when you can beat 7-1. That's I suppose that's par for the course. But the third point I was going to talk about was how do we recover from this? Stephen Robinson has managed to rally the troops and get us two big wins against St Mirren and Dundee. We've then taken a big step back as far as I'm concerned. I'm not expecting to go to Ibrox and get a draw or a victory, to be honest, but there's ways to lose football matches, as you've mentioned, as Stephen Robinson mentioned after the game. He's mentioned as well that players he believed had chucked it, had thrown in the towel. Are the players still playing for the manager? Have they lost their appetite and their hunger and their fight because they're not happy with the state of play at the club just now? I really believe that it would only take a win or two for Dundee or a victory for St Mirren, and suddenly we're really looking down the barrel. We've previously talked about the likes of Aki's. They're able to dig out results now and again that just seems to take them clear. We've looked to have turned a corner and then we've hit an absolute brick wall here. We've now got Aberdeen. We've got that really difficult run in December. I'm trying not to be too disheartened, and I do understand we don't often beat teams in the top six and that's not our bread and butter, but it's just shite. It's absolutely pathetic, some of the performances this season, and we're in an entertainment type game. I've just lost all enthusiasm, and it didn't disappoint me yesterday. Like, I want to actually be properly gutted if we lose 7-1, but I'm still not gutted. Like, I still don't feel anything but just an increasing apathy. Look ahead to the Iron Brew game much more because I'll actually see some football, I'll see some promise, some hope for the future, because I look at the first team and look towards games coming up and it's hard to be arsed.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly how I feel as well. As you say, like, I went out after, you know, maybe the first 20 minutes or whatever of the game yesterday, and at first I thought to myself, when McHugh got sent off and, you know, we lost a penalty and stuff like that, and I was reading Twitter and I was thinking to myself, fucking Craig Thompson, and I was upset at that point, and then, as I say, you know, the goals were flying in, and I just stopped caring. I literally stopped caring, and I turned around and I said to Callum, I says, Mull will get beat 7-1, and no emotion whatsoever. I just said 7-1 now, that's a lot of shite, and that was it. Put it away, never mentioned it again. I think when I met up with yous later that evening, we were just like, we're not even bother talking about it. And it's a lot of shite. I don't see us getting many points at all. If we get 2 points at the next 6 or 7 fixtures, I think that'll be an achievement, to be honest with you. I don't know where we're going to pick up points at all. Aberdeen, Livy, Celtic, Hearts, St Johnstone, Celtic, and St Johnstone's away at McDermott Park. They've gone on a wee run since they beat us as well, actually, but McDermott Park's a terrible place to go for us. Aberdeen, you know, are Aberdeen, they're better than us, so that's going to be a hard game. Livy away, if we can put in if we can somehow muster up a battling performance, a bit of effort, for even no battling performance, that's not what MD wants to. Well, that's not what MD's really they just want a bit of effort, really, didn't they? And I don't see us getting anything at all for Celtic Hearts. So, honestly, fuck knows where any points are coming from. And a bit like yourselves, Barra, I don't really see myself caring now.
Stephen Robinson clearly has a great passion, Jay, for the job. He was involved in an altercation in the touchline, clearly frustrated, was sent to the stand. He's blamed the fourth official. He's actually done an interview for Radio Clyde that I listened to, and he said, I can't blame the officials for what happened. And then he goes on to take a pop at the fourth official, who he describes as out of his depth. Sounds very much like he's he's maybe blaming the official somewhat there. He's under a great deal of pressure. For me, he's a man on the brink. I think he had bought himself some time with these results, but it will easily be levelled at him that he did nothing but paper over the cracks for these results. And 7-1 against any side suggests that possibly is the case.
I'm kind of torn on it. I'm torn on it because, first and foremost, I don't think, in hindsight, I don't think Stephen Robinson could possibly have come away from yesterday's game, without being in a sort of a lose-lose situation. At the end of the day, one of the reasons Rangers were the better side even before the sending off was because, Biggie on that left-hand side in front of Tate just isn't the same as Grimshaw in front of Cadden. So whereas Grimshaw provides the cover for Cadden, on the other side, you don't have any great defensive quality over there. Yes, Tate's a good defender, but when you've got what is widely regarded to be one of the best attacking right-backs in the league and James Tavernier coming forward time and time and time again, you're going to get torn to shreds. So Stephen Robinson could have possibly changed things to try and nullify that threat. But of course, if he had done, big sections of the Motherwell support would have been up in arms before it, that we hadn't, continued with the 4-4-2 diamond that has been so fruitful in the last two games. So instead, Stephen Robinson goes with the team, the same team, the same lineup that has, got his two wins in the last two games, just like many, many Motherwell fans, probably myself included, were calling for. And we go on and get horsed. So, I've got sympathy for Robinson in that. He's in a lose-lose situation there before the game where he either, goes with the way we were going to play and it doesn't work, or it, changes things and gets criticism for that, for not having faith in what we've done the last two games. He also can't do anything about Craig Thompson sending Carol McHugh off. As we've said before, it was a penalty, probably wasn't a sending off, but to go down to 10 men, that again is out of Robinson's hands. What I would say is, as I've already said, that in terms of character, in terms of the mentality of the players, it has to be a part of a manager's remit to make sure that the players, are strong enough mentally and aren't prepared to chuck the game the way we did. So I would maybe level some criticism against Robinson there. But for me, the biggest culprits yesterday are absolutely the players in the park. I think particularly because things haven't been great and because there has been that growing kind of criticism of Robinson, it's very easy to kind of turn around and blame Stephen Robinson for yesterday. It's very easy to blame Craig Thompson. It's perhaps very easy if you've not really seen the highlights or seen the game to blame Carol McHugh for getting sent off. But for me, it's basically the players that were left on the park after McHugh that went off. Stephen Robinson can only do so much, and then the players go in the park and you need the players to put in the effort. You need the players to have the pride in their own professions to actually go and, maybe get beat, but don't be an absolute embarrassment to the shirt you're wearing. And unfortunately, that's what our players, basically chose to do, because it seemed very clear when watching the game that, the towel was blatantly thrown in. It wasn't one of those things where afterwards you kind of go, oh, I think we chucked in the towel a wee bit. I mean, we quite clearly did. And that is out with Robinson's hand. So yeah, I'll be very critical of Robinson when I think he requires it. And I can understand that losing 7-1 is not acceptable for any manager. Every manager will tell you that they're in a results business, and 7-1, it doesn't get a great deal worse than that in top flight football. But there are a lot of elements of yesterday's game that were out with Robinson's control, and I think it would have been a lose-lose regardless how he'd approached it. And for me, the criticism is holy. The 10 players essentially that were left on the park after Callum McHugh went off.
Well, we do have something to cheer ourselves up with in the sense that the Ibrox Cup returns at the weekend and no first team matches for the next 13 days. So that's pleasing. And Ibbastad, Stephen Kagan's team have a massive challenge in their hands up against the Ross County side that are going well in the Championship. It will be, without a doubt, an incredibly difficult game. I don't know how seriously County are taking this competition, but they're only 3 wins away from lifting that trophy. They'll be one of the highest ranked sides remaining in the tournament. You just like to see the guys that are given the opportunity on Saturday giving a good representation of themselves, and they'll benefit from the experience as long as it's not a pasting, and I don't think it will be.
No, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't get to see the unders or reserves or whatever they're called these days at all, to be honest with you. So, you know, I can't really comment on them, so to speak, but the, you know, the write-up they got, especially against Sligo the last time, you know, was absolutely fantastic. They're going about their, you know, their business, basically. They're, you know, apparently they're a fantastic watch as well. So Ross County will be a tough challenge. And as you says, I don't know how seriously any of these teams take this cup. But as it comes towards the sort of, you know, the last few furlongs, they're definitely going to be thinking, you know what, we can actually put a, you know, try and get our names on this trophy here. So that you'd expect them to, if they hadn't been taking it seriously, you know, to start obviously looking at it a bit more seriously. But I don't know how it'll go. It'd be good to see, you know, the young boys again go a bit further than I think this is the furthest that any sort of, you know, under 20s or Colts or whatever team has gone. So it'd be some laugh if they won it, actually. It'd pretty much, I think, make a mockery of the tournament, but I think it'd be great if they won it, but it'll be interesting to see anyway.
Jay, it's a difficult one to call without having a great deal of background knowledge on it. The reserves progressed into the semi-finals of the SPFL Reserve Cup as well today, so that they're clearly going well. They'll be relishing the challenge, and what better time to stake your claim for a place in the team than after the first team have had such a heavy defeat. If a few can impress, then perhaps that might force them into the reckoning ahead of the Aberdeen game in 2 weeks' time.
You'd like to think so. Otherwise, there's no point in having a reserve team in the first place. You know, as we've said, it wasn't just the performances yesterday. It was the, you know, in terms of the character and the attitude and the mentality. And that's the kind of thing I think that you really need to ask questions of when it comes to dropping players. It's one thing to maybe, you know, stick by a player because they're just not getting a break of the ball, or, you know, they're maybe inconsistent, but, you know, they're going to hit a bit of form soon, that kind of thing. But when you've got players who just clearly are not in the game mentally, I think those are the players that you need to give a rest, that you need to take out the side. So absolutely, I think there are places up for grabs because, you know, we could sit and go back to last week's podcast and really talk up the 4-4-2 and the diamond and things like that. But, you know, you can pick any formation you want. If the players are going to chuck the towel in the way they did yesterday, then you really need to have serious question marks over who's starting games of football. So I see no reason why, you know, obviously Mbulu came off the bench at Ibrox. You know, if guys like that can impress, you know, whether it's, you know, with under 20s or the reserves or whatever, then absolutely they should be staking a claim, because at the end of the day, the defending that was on show yesterday and the complete lack of interest in trying to defend, if a guy like Mbulu should be looking at that going, if I'm pressed for this reserve side, I must walk into that defence, because it was just unacceptable. So absolutely, you know, the chance is there. Hopefully a couple of them will take it, and hopefully Stephen Robinson will have the confidence in them to put them in the side.
It's a dangerous one as well, isn't it, to a certain extent, because if Craigan's team were to progress to the last four, you're going to have suggestions that Stephen Craigan should be our manager and not Stephen Robinson. And I'm not saying that there's much logic in that, but you can the success of one of the youth teams and guys that are at the age where they should be there or thereabouts in terms of the first team possibly could in some way be perceived as something that could put more pressure on the first team manager.
It's something that has been mentioned plenty on the likes of Steelmen Online and things like that. It's a non-starter for me for two reasons. Firstly, it's an entirely different job. The idea that if you're a good reserve manager or a good youth manager, you're suddenly going to take the top job. You know, there's very, very few kind of precedents of that elsewhere in world football. It doesn't tend to happen because it's just an entirely different job. And secondly, Stephen Craigan doesn't want it. So, you know, I mean, it's a pointless conversation. I don't think anything that Stevie Craigan does is going to put any greater pressure on Stephen Robinson's job, simply because I think it's a complete non-starter that Craigan would be anywhere near the job anyway.
Guys, I don't think we've got much more for this week. As I say, it was after a positive one last week. Nothing good can last, and that was definitely the case tonight. A pretty horrendous game to have to look back on, but we now have a week off, and hopefully Stephen Robinson has clearly said that he's going to have the players in this week, so there's going to be no time off, no let-up, and hopefully they can find a way to recover from this, because if another bad result was to follow against Aberdeen, we're really going into December looking under a great deal of pressure. Just a quick one, and then the annual Christmas toy drive will take place ahead of the Aberdeen game on the 24th of November. We'll be outside the David Cooper stand from round about 1:30. Any toys would be greatly appreciated. The requirements are on our Twitter page. Essentially, I think it's just any toys, with the exception of anything that's battery powered for safety reasons. The toys should also be unwrapped rather than wrapped. There's been a few questions in that. And if you've got toys that you'd like to drop off because you can't make the game on the 24th, just get in contact via Twitter and we will arrange something ahead of the 24th. The podcast quiz and Q&A night as well, that is a week on Wednesday, the 21st. That's at 7:30 in the Centenary Suite. Entry for that is free, so it'd be great to see people along. If you just email info@mfc1886.com, just register your team. Although you can turn up in the night as well, it's just to give us a rough idea in terms of having bar staff on and things like that. So yeah, as I say, guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers.
No bother. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you. Bye.